Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You didn't want any more. What would be the one thing, if I gave you one wish, to change anything in sports? Yeah, it is. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Inside the Kia Studios, hour three of three. It is a Thursday, the 11th day of July, 2019. Hello, everybody. Will Polacek here with you. Hope you're enjoying yourself on this now Thursday morning. Telephone number to call, still an hour to play. 404-741-0929. That is the phone number. It is also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line that is available for you. If you missed our chat yesterday with Joe Patrick talking about the Braves, we're going to chat about them coming up in about 20 minutes with him and answer some questions about where the Braves are at the trade deadline, what exactly needs to take place, or where they are actually at the All-Star break, what needs to happen at the trade deadline, and how do you feel about the Braves in the second half, and who scares him more, the Nationals or the Phillies? Atlanta off tomorrow again, part of the All-Star break finishing. They will start the second half, proverbially out west. They will play San Diego for three. Dallas Keuchel gets the start to basically lift the lid on the second half. Julio Teheran, Mike Soroka start on the end of the weekend. Bryce Wilson and Max Fried will get the first two starts of the series in Milwaukee. And then Keuchel wrapping around on the series finale before a four-game set against the Washington Nationals, which could tell a major story about how the rest of the division will shape up in what has to be probably, at least to this point, one of the most anticipated series of the season at SunTrust Park. And we'll be looking forward to that here for the first games after the All-Star break here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. I have an issue with people who think that a bullpen arm is the automatic open and shut scenario for the Braves here at the All-Star break. Because Luke Jackson continues to show improvements. I also think you have to allow for him to continue to mature into that role. Because if you see him as your closer of the future, plugging him out of that position and turning him into a setup man for 3 months is not going to really give you a lot of a return. If you're going to trade assets for a starting pitcher. If you think you can go get Madison Bumgarner, then I'd think about, you know, Pache or one of these guys getting given up to go do that. You know, whether, and again, it's not that I have that much confidence in Newcomb and Tomlin and Webb and Tukey and all these guys, Jerry Blevins, but they have turned it around. The numbers are skewed based on how bad the bullpen started. 404-741-0929. Sell me on what you want for the Braves at the deadline. And not only that, but you are going to get Darren O'Day back. And that was something that Alex Anthopoulos had said in his mid-season address to basically act almost as a free agent acquisition or a trade acquisition for the Braves in that bullpen. And O'Day has had a very good track record over a couple of different teams in the American League and, of course, you know, here in Atlanta. So as a result of that, I honestly still think if your rotation, and again, we'll see on Gausman, we'll see on Folty, but if your rotation is Keuchel, Teheran, Soroka, and then some combination of Wilson, Fried, Gausman, and Foltynewicz, I'd feel better about one more guy in the starting rotation if it was me. I also wouldn't mind a veteran bat. Not that you're not getting a good service from Camargo and Joyce and Culberson off the bench, but, you know, that Matt Stairs kind of guy off the bench, that instant offense, that instant power, we call it in basketball a microwave man, a guy who can be a veteran presence to mix it up with guys who have been there in the wars like Markakis and Donaldson and Brian McCann and Freddie Freeman to help usher the youth of Austin Riley, Dansby Swanson, Ozzie Albies, Ronald Acuna Jr., and guys of that nature that can give you an ability to bolster what I think is a team that can make a run in October if the right moves are made. If you just go and try and get Shane Green from the West, or if you try and go get just the sexy bullpen arm, the sexy bullpen arm du jour, that doesn't do much for me. Especially if it's a rental. If you're going to go get a guy that's got some team control left under him or some years left on his contract. Because I don't like mortgaging the future for bullpen arms, because bullpen arms, in my mind, are all very flaky. And you've seen it across baseball this whole year. Bullpenning as a verb, or an adverb, if you will, bullpenning as a whole has gone down this year. It has gone in the toilet. And you want to spend assets from your well-groomed farm system on the most volatile position in the sport? That doesn't make much sense to me. Which is why I think Alex Anthopoulos and the Braves Brain Trust will exercise caution on whatever move they make as we sit before July 31st, 20 days from now, in the trade deadline. Of course, Atlanta United played earlier tonight, a 2-0 victory over the St. Louis Football Club as part of the quarterfinals of the U.S. Open Cup. Goal scored in the 52nd minute by P.T. Martinez, which culminates a weird week for him after a less-than-stellar performance against the New York Red Bulls on Sunday in an MLS match that saw Atlanta draw with the Red Bulls. Many believe largely because of his folly. Add in the fact that there was the rumor about his potential loan or transfer back that could possibly put him in another position before the end of the season. Of course, those rumors, according to both Darren Eales and Frank DeBoer, speaking not only on this radio station but publicly in the media, both of them have said that those rumors are a farce. He comes back, makes an amazing individual move on a St. Louis FC defender, and puts one on the back of the old onion bag and gives Atlanta the 1-0 lead. Penalty drawn in the stoppage time portion of the match by Joseph Martinez, and he makes no mistake, getting his second goal from the penalty spot this week. Third goal overall for club and cup. And Atlanta advances to the semifinals of the U.S. Open Cup against what Jason Longshore called a pesky squad that provided a very difficult matchup for them in Kennesaw.
They want to sit back. They want to defend. They want to extend the match. They look for those set-piece opportunities. They've got size. They're physical. That's a tough matchup for Atlanta United. I thought St. Louis defended pretty well on the night. They struggled to create in the run of play, but they did have a series of set-pieces, and especially very, very late, three corners in pretty quick succession that were defended very well. And if you think back to Chicago last week, corner kick defending was a big issue.
A couple of goals on set pieces by Chicago a week ago, and they were out of that match. If you add in the red card that ensued there in that match that had LGP suspended for the game against New York, that certainly was a part of the team that was well represented in tonight's victory, or earlier Wednesday night's victory as well. Of course, we saw the debut of Emerson Hyneman, who played 87 minutes and got the assist on the P.T. Martinez goal. Also saw some good play by LGP back in the lineup as well, and also some interesting back four and front four changes and tactical issues that were brought to light by Frank DeBoer. Those were talked about at length by Jason Longshore in the conversation you heard a portion of before. If you want to hear the whole thing, you can find it on our website, 929thegame.com, and you can find it in the podcast section of this program. The big question I'm asking you tonight on the hotline, And we've had a couple of interesting answers so far. 404-741-0929. If I was a genie and could give you a wish to change anything in sports, what would you change? Now, a lot of people will say right away, oh, well, the 28-3 game, the Atlanta Falcon 28-3 game, the Super Bowl 51. That's not kind of where I'm going with this question. What I'm asking you is there a rule in sports? Is there a player you didn't want, a signing you didn't want, a trade that was made you didn't want, that you thought if I could basically go back in time and change that fortune, that things would have been better here in Atlanta or elsewhere? A recruit for a college football team, something of that nature? Because the one thing that I would change if I was the genie is I think we've gone too far with instant replay. I really do. The fact that the NBA is going to allow challenges is utterly ridiculous. The end of basketball games is so long anymore, it's almost as if the timeout is obsolete. Because every time there is a stoppage of play, it seems like there's a whistle for a review. Do we really need more replay in the NBA? Do we need more replay in NFL games? Yes, I know the NFC Championship was awful. Of course, we here would snicker because it happened to the Saints and it couldn't have happened to a nicer bunch of you-know-whats, I say with a smile. But I do believe that we've jumped the shark as it sits with replay. And if I was a genie, I would remove instant replay from every sport. It'd be all gone. No more baseball review. No more basketball review. No more hockey offside review. No more soccer VAR. It is ruining the live event. It is ruining the organic things and why we love sports so much. Have you ever been at a baseball game where you have an amazing double play at the end of the game, but you have to hold off on the celebration because the opposing manager wants to hold for a potential review and then go to the review, and then we wait endlessly, it seems, to try and at least adjudicate a decision? In my mind, it needs to go. I feel like, you know, for a while, technology was good. But the fact that we have all these HD cameras everywhere and the slow motion and things of that nature, we're not playing sports anymore, guys. It's no longer involved with the actual humans on the field and on the court and on the ice and elsewhere. And I think that needs to change. 404-741-0929. We'll hear from Joe Patrick coming up on the hotline as we talk about the Braves at the All-Star break. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. We've heard from the underboss. Sean the underboss does not agree. Get rid of all the replay? What? Are you kidding me? Listen, the NBA challenges, that's the last straw for me, man. That is it. But it's the answer to the question. If you could change one thing in sports, whether it was a trade or a signing or a rule, what would you want to change when it comes to the world of sports? 404-741-0929. We say good morning to Ken, who's calling from America's. Ken, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How are you, pal?
I'm doing great. One thing I would have changed is I would go back to 1990 and not trade Dale Murphy away from the Braves for a no-name pitcher named Jeff Parrott.
Yes.
And they sent Murphy to the Phillies. That was 1 year before the Braves' 1991 run to the World Series. It was just a shame for Murphy because he really deserved to be on those great 90s teams the Braves had. And instead, he was on the 1982 Braves team that won the pennant, and they got swept by the Cardinals who went on to win the World Series. But I just can't believe, it's hard to believe that he was not a part of those 90s teams. They traded him to the Phillies. I mean, Parrott did nothing for us. He went to the Phillies, a losing team there, and then he was sent to the expansion Colorado Rockies in 1993. More losing there. That poor man played his heart out, and he played for mostly losing clubs. It's just a shame that Braves didn't keep him.
You know, it's hard to find a more beloved more beloved Brave amongst more fans. I mean, you'd say Chipper Jones probably is universally beloved, but I think the reason why Dale Murphy is so beloved the way that he is that in my mind, so much of what, like you just said, Ken, is the fact that he didn't win a championship and he deserved to win a championship or at least play in a World Series. I know we talk a lot in the NFL about players who didn't win a championship, you know, best player to not win a championship. I mean, you can make the argument that Dale Murphy is at least not necessarily in the conversation, but of guys you wanted to see get one, he's certainly in there. All-star every year from 82 through 87. All-star as well in 1980. He was out there every day from 82 to 85. And got you 118 runs scored in 1985, 37 home runs, 36 in 84. I mean, to me, that just gives you more of a reasoning behind, again, you know, these is why I ask the questions. Because, again, this could offer a different perspective. The Dale Murphy trade is one where I think every franchise has a trade that they would want back, a trade that didn't work. And you know, you think about players, no one's walking around with a Dale Murphy Phillies jersey, okay? No one's walking around with a Dale Murphy Colorado Rockies jersey. He only played 26 games there. So in my mind, I think that's a very, very good answer from Ken in Americus. 404-741-0929. One trade, one rule. If I could give you an opportunity to change one thing in sports, what would that be? Let's go to Johnny, who's talking to us in College Park. Johnny, you are on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How are you?
Doing good, man. Thanks for letting me on, man. Hey, one thing that I would have liked to change for the Braves, I read an article like a couple years ago on the Braves.com. It was about to make a trade for Barry Bonds.
Oof.
I think that's when he was with either Pirates or the Giants.
Right.
So talking about how Sherholz brought Terry Clinton in, asked him, how would you think about trade? And they was about to do it, and the next day later, I think the Giants, they pulled out of it. And I really, really wish we would have got Barry Bonds. I guarantee we would have had Barry Bonds. We probably would have had a few more championships other than one. And then the other one, Ted Turner selling the Braves, which he wouldn't have did. Then we wouldn't have Liberty Media owning our team. And that's it, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much for the call, Johnny, as he calls us again at 404-741-0929. Yeah, that was 92 when he was with Pittsburgh. And basically, Pittsburgh had the deal done. The rules were the terms were consummated. And it was the second year of the John Schuerholz reign as a GM. And, you know, for everything that John Schuerholz did good with the Atlanta Braves, and let's be real, anybody who tries to urinate on the job that he did with this franchise takes for granted unjustifiably the division championship run that they had come through here. So don't sit there and say that. But that deal, I think, remains one of the great mysteries as to why they didn't necessarily consummate that deal, because basically the pitcher that was involved in that was Alejandro Pena. The outfielder was Keith Mitchell, the cousin of Kevin Mitchell. And basically Barry Bonds was also in that deal. The prospect to be named later. Was in the deal, and that was basically all for Barry Bonds. Quite honestly, due to Pena's contract, Schuerholz had to get Pena to sign a trade release, and he accepted the trade, signed the waiver. It was about as official as you can get, and they agreed to the deal over the phone. The deal was in place. The players were told, and then a last-minute phone call basically called it off. Man, that is... Could you imagine what Barry Bonds would have looked like in a Braves uniform? Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine an outfield that had Barry Bonds and Andrew Jones and, like, pre-steroid Barry Bonds? Back when he, like, was a 40-40 guy. Now, could that have changed the fortunes? Are we talking about only one championship now? Are we talking about a real dynasty with multiple rings? But then again, who knows? That's why we ask the question, is there one thing that you have that you would want to change in sports? What would it be? 404-741-0929. Let's go to LJ, who's calling in Fayetteville. And LJ, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How are you, pal?
I'm well, yourself, sir.
Good, sir.
All right, well, not going to be a homer in this situation. I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
My one thing I would change is the fumble.
Oh. If you were sitting in front of Ernest Biner right now, would you be able to sit in the same room?
At this point, yes.
Okay.
I've come to terms with it. It's over. It's done. But, yeah, that's the one thing. Cleveland would have won that Super Bowl.
That's difficult. That's difficult. I've sat in the same room as Ernest Biner because I spent some time in Washington. And even though he won a Super Bowl with the Redskins, he still does that's literally the one thing that he looks back on his career and he says it's and you see this with other players who have a definition of their career via singular moment. We saw that with Bill Buckner, obviously, how much it affected him and his family and their personal life. I mean, if we were doing this show in Cleveland, I appreciate LJ for the call. If we were doing this show from Cleveland, we would have a laundry list of different things. People would be talking about the decision. People would be talking about letting LeBron go a second time, the fumble, the drive, game seven of the 97 World Series, of course, losing to our Braves. You know, there's probably a lot of things. Kenny Lofton, I mean, the whole bit. Jim Tomey, letting Jim Tomey walk. Travis Happ, the whole bit. Game seven in 2016 against the Cubs. And is there a town that takes its misery more seriously than Cleveland, Ohio does? Man, what is the one thing you had in sports that you want to change? Anything in sports, whether it's a player, whether it's a rule, whether it's a game that you'd want to change, what would that be? 404-741-0929 on the phones and on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Let's go to Vic, who is calling in Ellenwood. And Vic, you're on 92.9 The Game. How are you, Vic?
Hey, how you doing? Great show. If I could change one thing, back when the Falcons had Dan Reeves.
Yes.
And they had Michael Vick.
Yes.
I really believe if they would have kept Dan Reeves there, Michael Vick never would have went in that direction. I thought that he was doing a great job with Vic. I mean, he brought him here. They went to the playoffs. They beat Green Bay. He come back. He get hurt in preseason. And then they made the announcement that they wasn't going to retain him. And I believe what Dan Reed said, that the player was not going to respect him if they knew he wasn't going to be there. They're not going to play hard for him.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could go back and they could have just kept him at least one more year and try to go ahead and get Vic and – because I thought Vic was passing and everything. Because once they brought the new coach in there, who was it, Jim Moore?
Yes, Jim Moore.
Vic just went haywire. He's just running all over the place. All the standing in the pocket and passing. And he came out himself and said that he didn't study the playbook. He just went out there and winged it on Sunday.
I mean, he freelanced a lot. You know, you could say that his peak came in 14. Appreciate the call, Vic. His peak came in 14. He actually had one of his best statistical seasons in 2006, and we all knew what happened after. Well, the problem is he also got sacked more times that year than he did at any point in time. So the fact that you're right, he was doing a lot more freelancing that year to kind of change the narrative. But, yeah, the real pity, I think, too, is the fact that young man's career did not go. If there's one player that probably had more uncapped potential in Atlanta sports history, I think we all could agree it was Michael Vick. If we could see an unaltered, more mature, and more well-led Michael Vick, that's one thing I think we all could sit here and say, man, that could have produced something special in this city. Great answers. Love that. Love that feedback on the phone lines. I know I promised you Joe Patrick. I didn't bring him to you here, but I will bring him to you next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Will Polonchek back here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. We head out to the WadeFord.com guest line, and we are joined by our Braves reporter for 92.9 The Game, Joe Patrick, as the Braves sit at the All-Star break, 6 games ahead of the Nationals, 6.5 ahead of the Phillies at the baseball traditional halfway point. And Joe, you know, for a team that, you know, depending on who you looked at, you know, USA Today had this team pegged to finish third in the division. Some others had them contending for the top. But the Braves, I think, have to be very pleased with where they're sitting right now as the season turns to the midpoint of July.
I think you have to be ecstatic. I mean, with the Braves' 54 wins, that's seventh most in franchise history before the break. So I don't think it's reasonable to have expected anyone to have predicted the success that the Braves have had so far this season. And even if you go back and look at Major League Baseball, MLB.com's preseason polling of their analysts on who would finish first in each division, none of those analysts picked the Braves to finish first, and none of them even picked the Braves to finish in the wild card spot. If we go back to the beginning of the season, all the talk was about the Phillies and the Nationals and how much those teams have bolstered their clubs. So you really have to give so much credit to everyone in the organization, really, but especially, you know, Alex Anthopoulos for putting this team together for a large part of it, and then Brian Snicker for managing it extremely well. And it hasn't been a straightforward managerial task for him this season either. There's been lots of things he's had to go through. He's had so many changes he's had to make to his pitching, to his starting rotation. He's had some unforeseen incidences like what we've seen lately with Mike Fultonevich. And then you also have to give him credit in the batting order for being willing to make a change. You know, he started the season off trying to go with Ender and Ciarte at the top of the order. Wasn't really working out. And you have to give Brian Snicker, I think, a lot of credit for, seeing that it wasn't working and that there was a better transition that could be made. Sure, we can nitpick and say it should have been that all along, considering the success that Ronald Acuna Jr. had batting leadoff last year. But I just think you have to give a guy like Brian Snicker so much credit for kind of seeing and analyzing how his ball club is performing and making adjustments to try to optimize their team's performance. And I don't think anybody can complain. This is one of the best Braves teams we've seen in a long time.
The thing that I find fascinating, Joe, is the fact that the two biggest offseason prizes, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, are playing on teams that are right around the 500 mark. Neither guy is an all-star. And basically, the Braves surge to the top, mostly with their homegrown guys. Yeah, you have a couple of free agent additions like Josh Donaldson and the re-upping with Nick Markakis. But for the most part, these are all contributions coming from guys right inside their organization. Austin Riley, Ronald Acuna, Ozzie Albies, chief among them.
Yeah, you have to give so much credit to everyone who's kind of been in this organization to see these guys through to fruition at the major league level when you talk about some of these young talent. And then again, you have to give credit. I mean, some of the best work that the Braves front office has done this season has not so much been about getting in guys like Dallas Keuchel, but it's been about extending players like Ronald Acuna and Ozzie Albies, these two, phenomenal young talents, to long-term deals. Now you don't have to worry about, you've got basically control of their contracts now. They have contracts and you basically have the path laid out for your franchise for the foreseeable future. So, the future is bright for them. And, when we look at the offseason, this is just the fallacy that we kind of fall into every year, right? We always want to be looking for, who is creating the most buzz, the most stir in the winter meetings. Which player is going to go for the huge money that can grab all the headlines and be talked about on sports talk radio ad nauseum. And we kind of sometimes lose sight of the fact that some of these teams, like the Braves, have established pipelines of young, talented players, and they're going to improve. And I think that that's really what we've seen from this team this year, is that this Braves team has actually gotten better, in fact, much better from what it was at the beginning of the season. And with a young team like that, you really only have to expect that to continue to happen. It might not happen with every guy, but when you look at the majority of this ball club, there's a lot of potential room for growth, and that's saying a lot considering how good they've been already.
92.9 The Game, Braves reporter Joe Patrick joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on the WadeFord.com hotline. To the starting pitching, well, you mentioned it. Keuchel basically being inserted fortifies that rotation, though many believe that they need another arm outside of Soroka, outside of Tehran, outside of Fried, and some of these other guys who are at AAA and Quad A. I know that they might try to take another turn with them, like Foltynewicz and a couple of the others, Bryce Wilson also. Does this team need another starter in your mind before July 31st?
You know, I really think they do. You know, there's been obviously a lot of talk about how the Braves are going to bolster this squad before the trade deadline passes. And obviously there's been talk about bullpens. And yes, I would agree. And, you know, any team that is contending for the playoffs at this point in the season should probably be upgrading their bullpen regardless. But I really think that the biggest issue for the Braves right now is the starting rotation. And, you know, when we look at this Braves squad right now, we have to look at it in a context of this team being in the playoffs. I think quite clearly what we've seen so far this season is that the squad as currently constructed is good enough to make the playoffs. That's not going to be the issue here, in my opinion. In my opinion, the issue is, does this squad match up against one of the other top teams in the National League in a playoff series? And when you look at a playoff series, you really need that starting rotation bolstered. You really need at least three guys you feel real, real confident in a playoff series. And, you know, I think that you had some guys there that you probably had penciled in at the start of the season or even in the beginning of the season, guys like Max Fried that we've talked about, even a guy like Mike Foltynewicz. I'm sure that a lot of us probably thought that he would be, you know, a surefire starter in a playoff series. And now he's in AAA. He's with the Gwinnett Stripers. So, you know, lots have changed with the Braves this season. And I think that they really need to look at, you know, going out there and seeing if they could get another guy. I know a lot of the talk so far has been about Madison Bumgarner and possibly bringing him over from the Giants. I'm not sure if he's the guy that I would be aiming for, but then again, it's just very hard to find good starting pitching, and he certainly would have the most experience if that's what you're valuing right now. But I think it really is a position that the Braves need to look at because of what you've seen recently. You know, Max Fried just kind of falling back, and he's still a young pitcher, so you may not be quite sure what you get from him in the playoffs. You know, one more veteran starting pitcher might be just what you need.
I know that a lot of people are very, very wary about giving up the big assets, you know, the assets for the future. And right now you do look like with this roster that there are a surplus of position players, you know, Camargo, Culberson, Inciarte when he gets back. Those are all guys who can, you know, Matt Joyce too. Those are guys who can contribute off the bench. But like we said, bullpen might be a bigger need. Who are some of those assets, if it's not those guys, somebody at AAA, that might be used by the Braves that could be the ire of somebody, or at least the want of somebody in another team that could be looking for a possible upgrade?
Yeah, you know, the two most obvious ones, the two biggest names right now that are really making waves are Drew Waters and Christian Pache. Both of them are in AA, but both of them are looking to rise. They're rising through the minor league rankings quickly. And if you look at a guy, especially let's look at Pache, for example, he's already a guy who, from people I've talked to, saying that he's already not only is he just major league ready already right now defensively, he's potentially gold glove caliber ready right now at the major league level, and he's in AA. And by the way, he's OPSing over 800. He's hitting really well. But on the other side of the coin, you have Drew Waters, who's leading AA, all of AA baseball in hits. So these two guys are going to be very expensive. I would not personally part with either of them. I think you might have some more starting pitching talent you could look at, you know, a guy like Ian Anderson, Joey Wentz. You even have, you know, guys like Mike Foltynewicz, who you could think about trading. You know, another team might look at Mike Foltynewicz and say, look at this guy. He's a former All-Star. You know, I know he may have some issues going on mentally, but we can fix that. I think a lot of teams think that they can be the smartest ones in the room and can be able to fix those problems. So I would look for him to possibly be out as well. You know, I think the Braves could flip some of these guys that have major league experience. Ander Inciarte would be another one of those guys that they could potentially package. So they've got many options they could go. It's down to, you know, a negotiation, and teams are always going to play coy about that this time of the year.
I know the answer on this is variable and probably relies a lot on how the teams have been playing lately, but who scares you more as a threat to the division, the Nationals or the Phillies?
You know, for me, it's the Nationals. You know, I just think they have a more well-rounded ball club right now. You know, the Phillies are kind of a mess. You know, we the Braves played them at home just a week ago, and you know, it was really interesting being around the Philadelphia press. You can kind of tell that they are kind of questioning Gabe Kapler and his management of that team. I think they're kind of confused with some of the things he says, wondering if that kind of that line of communication is actually, you know, understandable from the players in that squad. And I think that if you just look at the Nationals, obviously, you know, that's a team that's kind of in better form in the last, you know, 4 or 6 months, certainly trending upward. And I don't see them falling off nearly as much. I feel like the Phillies are a much more kind of top heavy team, to borrow a phrase. And when things aren't going well, things go really poorly for them. I mean, just look at the Phillies' record against the Marlins this year. I think they have a losing record against the Marlins this season, and it's not really even close. So, I think the Nationals have a great shot, actually, to get a wild card spot in the National League. I think they're the team to watch out for.
Last one for Joe Patrick, our Braves 92.9 The Game reporter. Do want to ask you, if there is a player, one player, you can only have one, who is not on the Braves roster right now on another major league team who you could have before the trade deadline hits, who is that player?
Man, that's a good one. I think that player for me, I'm going to say two. I'm going to go two. They're both in the same position. They're both closers. You have Will Smith from the Giants, who is a guy who has been, you know, potentially kind of, you know, touted to go to the Braves, potentially in a trade. Even I've seen, you know, rumors of Will Smith and Maz and Bumgarner going together to the Braves. That could be a possibility, but it seems like a stretch to me. Another guy is Shane Green out of Detroit. You look at these two teams, the Giants and the Tigers, both of these teams are out of it. Good closers with good experience in that position. I think it would just really bolster the bullpen in the way that it needs. I know we've talked a lot about starting pitching, but honestly, you know, it's funny. I don't have a great name for you. Like, you know, Bumgarner's one. A guy like Marcus Stroman might be another one out in Toronto. He's a guy that Alex Anthopoulos would know very well. He scouted him and drafted him when he was in Toronto. But other than that, you know, it's hard to find starting pitching. So I think that the people who do the maths and the analytics and all that stuff will be able to pluck one of those names out. But I'm looking at a closer, maybe either Will Smith or Shane Green.
You can find his stuff, of course, at 929thegame.com and always on our air. Joe Patrick, our Braves reporter. Appreciate the time as always, Joe. Thank you.
Will, thanks for having me. Let's do it again.
Joe Patrick joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. What was left on the cutting room floor on the program? Next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It was a fun night, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Five stripes win, which makes us all happy. Beating St. Louis in the U.S. Open Cup. They'll play Orlando City FC next month. Of course, you'll hear them on Sunday night or Sunday afternoon, 3:15 pregame, 3:55 for the kick time as Atlanta takes on Seattle. Great discussion on the, if I could grant you one wish to change anything in sports, what would it be? Dale Murphy and Michael Vick among the local answers of note. I was thinking earlier, if you need to donate $5,000 a year to a school just so you can drink beer at 8 football games or 7 football games, whatever it is, you love beer way more than I love beer. And probably a little bit too much, I should say. Thanks again to Deshaun Tate, Jason Longshore, Joe Patrick, and also Ross Dellinger for joining us on the program tonight. I'm back tomorrow, same time, same place, 11 until 2 a.m. We will take you into a Friday coming up tomorrow. And for producer Siobhan Frazier, I'm Will Polonchik. Amy Lawrence and ZBS Sports Radio is next. Until later today, we say so long.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.